Our scripture reading this evening is Psalm 46. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let's pray. Lord God, we pray that these words that in many ways are so familiar to us might be made more a part of us this evening as we reflect on them. We ask then, Father, that you would speak them to us in ways that will change us. We pray, Lord, that you would use your words here to calm us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I was growing up, one of the shows that I used to like to watch, I think it was in reruns at the time, it was on pretty much every day after I came home from school, was the show Emergency. And the show Emergency was basically about two EMTs, or emergency medical technicians, I think. And so it was about all of the calls that they were sent on. So each show was a series of different calls where these two EMTs were sent out to people who were in need of medical attention. And so when you watched this show, you saw every conceivable thing that a person can be ailing from. You saw every conceivable accident. You saw every conceivable type of disease or illness when you watched Emergency. I never knew that there were so many things to be afraid of until I watched Emergency. Every show gave me another handful of things that I could worry about. And so in time, I became somewhat of a young hypochondriac. And everything that I saw on Emergency, I was sure I either already had or I would soon have. And so I would quiz my mother as to whether or not this bump felt suspicious to her or not, because I know that sometimes it could be a brain tumor or whatever. I was worried about just about everything that they had on the show Emergency. I had dealt with fear before. There were other things in my life that I'd been afraid of, but all of those things I could get over, you see, because they were different. When you're afraid of the boogeyman, you can grow out of that, because at some point in your life, you realize that the boogeyman isn't real. But these things on Emergency were different, because the older I got, the more I knew that they were real, and the more of them I knew about. As time went by, as I learned more about the world that I lived in, I found that there were a lot more things that I could worry about. There were countless things that I could come down with at any moment. And so my mind was always filled with worry about one thing after another. Fear is one of the things that most of us pick up along the way as we grow up. And once fear makes its way into our lives, it doesn't make its way out very quickly. Once we begin to worry about things, once we have a condition where we worry about every possible thing that could happen to us, not only to our health, but also to our life in general or to other people in our lives, you find yourself in a very difficult position, because the only thing that will calm your fears is a guarantee that those things will never happen to you. And nobody can give you that. See, the power and the trap of worry is that the one thing you need to get rid of it, you can't find. You look around for someone to tell you that it's impossible for you to get a brain tumor. And you can't find someone like that because it is possible. All of the things that you worry about are possible. And because they're all possible, nobody can give you a guarantee against them. Nobody can assure you that the things that you're worried about won't happen. And so worry kind of snowballs. It builds on itself. When you go around looking for relief, you only find more reasons to be afraid. So the mind of the worrier finds no rest. Like a restless sea, it tosses and turns, and it goes from one thing to worry about to another thing to worry about. And the worrier's mind is just rolling with all of these different things, all of these different possibilities, all these different things that really could happen. All these things to worry about. And so all life becomes filled with fear, fear of the possible. But the heart of the Christian life, we know, is faith. And faith is, as Hebrews 11 says, being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So faith and worry find themselves opposed to each other. And since faith is the heart of the Christian life, and it cannot grow where there is always worry, we have to see what we can do about putting worry to rest. What can be done in order to claim a kind of peace, in order to calm the troubled sea that often exists in our minds when we allow them to go from one thing to another, always worrying about everything that might happen to us? And tonight, to the worrier and the fearful, from those who are worried about their health, to those who are worried about their family, to those who are worried about the direction of our nation, the direction of our church, the direction of our denomination, to those who are worried about what we were talking about this morning, which is the direction of the world and the end times. No matter what you're worried about, to you comes Psalm 46. And it starts out, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Now, I can tell you, as a recovered hypochondriac and all-around worrywart, that these first three verses of Psalm 46 speak to the soul of a worrier. And the reason they speak to the soul of a worrier is because they don't try to convince the worrier that those things aren't going to happen to him. These first three verses speak to the soul of a worrier because they don't try to dismiss my fears as being unfounded. They don't try to tell me I'm silly. Because if I go by the statistics, I shouldn't worry about something of which I have such a small percentage of a possibility of facing. Psalm 46 doesn't try to convince me with all those kinds of arguments. Psalm 46 is firmly established in the real world, in the world of the possible. And that's really nice for a worrier, because that's where a worrier lives, in the world of what's possible. As a child, I would worry about crazy things, that's true. But all of them were possible. It's crazy for a 10 or 11 or 12-year-old boy to walk around worrying that he's going to get a brain tumor. But it isn't going to help the 10 or 11 or 12-year-old boy for somebody to tell him that it's silly to worry about getting a brain tumor, or that he's never going to get a brain tumor. Because it doesn't take a 10 or 11 or 12-year-old boy long to look around and see some other 10 or 11 or 12-year-old boy with a brain tumor. And you say, if it can happen to them, why can't it happen to me? Psalm 46 lives in the world of the possible, in the real world. Because all these things happen in the real world. Worriers, while it might be unhealthy to worry about things, which it is, worriers are at least willing to face reality. Worriers don't walk around, they don't walk around with their head in the sand, but that would be kind of hard. They don't live life with their head in the sand, okay? Pretending that things won't happen. They live in the real world. They want to deal with reality. So Psalm 46 speaks to the worrier not by trying to convince him that his fears are unfounded, but by giving him a reason not to fear all of those things that are possible. Even if the earth gives way, it says, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, even if I should get a brain tumor, or even if I should get some other terrible disease, or even if I should live to face the tribulation, no matter what it is that might happen, even if the earth itself gives way, no matter what I face, God is still my refuge and my strength. In the world of the possible, in the world of all the things that are possible, Psalm 46 reminds us that in the midst of it, God is still our refuge and our strength. Because even if the world is in chaos and terror, there is always peace and calm where God lives. The psalmist continues in verse 4. He says, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High lives. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." You know, there's something about a stream that is calming. At least it is for me. When I was young, maybe in that time when I was dealing with all that worry stuff, we took a trip out west for a family vacation. And while we were there, we visited a lake, a small lake up in the mountains. And the lake was fed by a small stream. And over the stream, there was a bridge over the stream that was feeding the lake. And off out of the side of the bridge, I don't know what its purpose was, but there was a board sticking out like 3 or 4 feet. It was like a 2x12 or something. And I didn't know what it was for, but it looked like a nice place to sit to me. And so I climbed over the railing, and I sat down on it, and I crossed my legs, and I just sat there. And I watched the water and listened to the water go by in that stream. It was a completely different world. It was like a haven of peace and rest. There was nothing there to worry about. The stream just gently flowed and filled the lake. And all around me was just beauty and peace and quiet. There was nothing to fear. It was a different kind of place than a mind of a worrier filled with all kinds of things. There was quiet and peace. Well, psalmist says that there's a river like that in the city of God. A river whose streams make those who live there glad, happy, carefree. While the waters outside the city are roaring and foaming, as the psalmist was talking about, there's a quiet stream in the city of God that brings joy and gladness. And the stream is quiet. That place is quiet and calm because the Most High dwells there. Because He is there, you see, there's no possibility of it falling. While it is a fact that many bad things could happen to us, it is also a fact that no bad thing can happen to him. Nothing can touch the Most High God. And so wherever he dwells, wherever he lives, there is peace and there is calm. Nothing can upset the waters there because he's there. And nothing can upset him. He's just a rock of calm who lives there. And because he lives there, nothing bad happens there. Now the psalmist is referring, of course, to the city of Jerusalem. But with the coming of Christ and with the full revelation of God's plan of salvation, the scene takes on a much deeper significance for us, doesn't it? For while the holy place where the Most High dwells used to be the temple in Jerusalem, and the city of God used to be Jerusalem, the temple where the Most High dwells now is in the church. And specifically, the temple where the Most High dwells now is the soul of every believer. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, he says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you?" That God's Spirit dwells in you as a believer in Jesus Christ. So the scene that the psalmist is painting for us, this place of great peace and safety, this place that cannot be troubled because the Most High lives there, is in you. It is in your soul. In the deepest part of you, God lives there. And because he does, nothing can harm you there. So while anything could be happening outside, while anything could be happening out in this world, or even to our bodies, in the heart of a believer, in the believer's soul, there is always calm. There is another world altogether. There's a haven of peace and rest, kind of like the mountain lake that I visited, a place that's completely different from the world that we normally live in. And it's completely different because the Most High is there. And his peace and his calm calms everything around him. So the first fact that Psalm 46 would have us consider is that nothing bad can ever happen. No harm can come to the soul of a believer. It is well with his soul, because the Most High lives there. But there's one other fact that the psalmist wants the worrier to consider, and that is that in time, the peace and the calm that dwells in the soul of a believer because the Most High dwells there will expand. It will reach out. That one day the arm of the Lord will reach out all over the earth and bring that kind of peace and calm to the whole earth. He says, "Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire." All the upheaval of the world, all of the harm that the world could do to us, all of the harm that you can see in the world that the world could do to you, all represented here by these weapons of war, he will destroy. He will crush them. He will make them non-existent. And so the peace which now is in the soul of a believer because the Most High lives there, that peace will one day spread out into the whole world at that time when he comes to crush those things that would only seek to do harm to us, all the things that we worry about, the roaring waters of this world, those waters that are roaring and foaming, will be stilled as that stream in the city of God. And after having explained these two facts to the warrior. You know, facts are what warriors like, right? Because warriors live in the real world, so they want facts. After the psalmist has explained these two facts, that the soul of a believer can never be harmed, that they can never endure turmoil in their soul because the Most High lives there, and that one day everything that they see, everything that they worry about will be crushed by that same power, that same calm. After conveying those two facts, the psalmist invites the warrior to calm himself. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." And now we've come back to faith, haven't we? What is it finally that can cast out the fear that builds within us, but more faith? That's what God invites us to here. He gives us two facts, two certain truths, but neither of them that we can see. And he tells us to calm ourselves by them, to reflect on them, to claim them, to hold them, and by doing so, to calm their minds. In Mark chapter 4, there is a story there. Beginning with verse 35, we read, "That day, when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' They were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him.'" Who is this? Yeah, who is that? Who is that Jesus? Who is this Jesus that we follow? Who is this Jesus that we cling to? Who is this Jesus that we trust in and place our lives in? He is the Most High God. He controls everything. He has the power to do anything. So why do we fear? After we got home from vacation that year, my mother came up to me one day and she handed me a picture. It was a picture that she had taken of me sitting on that board, sticking off the side of that bridge, just looking down at the water. And she said that she wanted me to look at that picture every time I was afraid, because she wanted me to remember the peace of that place. I'm sorry. As many things do, this kind of thing goes from generation to generation. And so my son Jacob has been going through the same thing that I went through as a child. I don't have a picture for you, but I have this psalm. And not only for you, but for all of us. Because fear is real. And we all have it. And so tonight I want to give you this psalm. And I want you to look at it and read it when you're afraid. And remember the peace of this place. This place where the Most High dwells in your soul. And be still and know that He is God. Let's pray. Lord God, there are so many things, so many real things that we worry about. Father, help us to know that you and your power and your love are the most real things that exist. Still our troubled minds, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.